Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Hello, my name is Eva, and I am a Star Scout in Troop 519. I'm also a den chief for a local Cub Scout pack. Our first scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 1 through 12. Let us listen together for the word of God. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet, day after day, they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask me of righteous judgments. They want God on their side. Why do we fast, but do you not see? Why humble ourselves, but do you not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. You fast only to quarrel and to fight and strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fasting that I choose? A day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To lose the bonds of injustice? To undo the straps of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator should go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of the evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continuously and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in.
Hello, my name is Maithri, and I'm also a Star Scout in Troop 519. I'm the Troop Scribe and also the Assistant Patrol Leader for the Rising Phoenix Patrol. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a ladder, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, until your righteousness exceeds that of scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join with me in the spirit of prayer. O Holy God, may my words this day be your words, and may your words be planted in our hearts and minds so that we can shine your light in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the past couple of weeks, Scripture has been leading us through light and epiphanies. This season of light has been one focused on helping us see the world with a little bit more of a greater understanding, or at least with a little bit more clarity. Two Sundays ago, we stood with Isaiah and Matthew in a moment when darkness was all around the people. In our passage from Isaiah that morning, it was in the first section, the Assyrian Empire was advancing and dismantling the northern kingdom of Israel through violence and deportation. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, spoke as the devastation was ongoing and dared to proclaim that the light was breaking forth. Then the Gospel of Matthew brought us back to that very same region, now living under the Roman Empire, where we see Jesus' ministry after John the Baptist had been arrested. Danger was there, and the cost of resistance was already made clear to the people. And yet, still, light entered while the empire held power. And then last Sunday, we heard from the prophet Micah in the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, also found in the Gospel of Matthew. The prophet Micah stood before a people shaped by suffering and asked what God actually desires: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And then in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is standing on the hillside speaking blessings over those the world often overlooks: the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those made powerless, those who hunger for righteousness. And once again, in these scripture passages, we see a little clearer the world that God is bringing into view. The season of Epiphany, the season of light, reveals a deep conflict between two ways of understanding this world. The empire tells a very specific story about how we navigate in the world. The empire teaches us that the world must be navigated by force and control and power. It insists that domination is a characteristic of the strong, that blessings are for those only in power, and that the suffering of others is deserved as a consequence of their own actions. But scripture interrupts that story. Over and over and over, God reveals a world shaped by compassion and justice, humility, and a shared life together. God's light helps us see what is out there beyond ourselves. It shines bright and it illuminates the dark. And by doing so, it also reveals the shadows. I'm reminded of this most mornings in my apartment. I have two large windows that face east. And when the sun comes up, that light pours into my apartment. It's beautiful and it's warm and it fills nearly the entire space. My dog, Odin, loves it. He finds the exact spot where the light is shining in, and that's where he lays. And in the summer, when it's not freezing cold outside, my dog Odin takes himself out onto the balcony to sunbathe in this light. Odin has a very easy life. And then the light keeps moving in my apartment. My apartment also has hardwood floors. And while I like to think that I keep my place relatively clean, that same beautiful light reveals everything: crumbs and dust and dog fur that Odin swears is not his. This mess didn't suddenly appear when the sun came up, but the light made visible what was already there, what had been easy to miss in a much dimmer light. Light reveals what is there. And sometimes what it reveals is lovely. And sometimes it reveals things we would prefer not to see so clearly. But once that light hits the floor, pretending everything is fine becomes much harder. God's light works the same way in our world. When God shines that light, it doesn't suddenly create hunger or fear or injustice. Those realities are already present. But the light makes them harder to ignore. And that's why the empire prefers this light to be a little dimmer. Not darkness exactly, but just enough light to function without revealing the path forward. Just enough distance that hunger can be discussed without being addressed, or just enough abstraction that people without housing become statistics rather than our neighbors, or just enough twisted stories of truth and power that make the people believe that violence and evil are necessary and good. The empire wants just enough light so that the people begin to believe that the empire is the source of this light. But then Jesus speaks about salt and light in a world that already knows the empire very well. Salt. Salt is ordinary and essential. It preserves food, it enhances flavor, it is used in purification. Salt by itself is not exactly good, but the absence of salt is when you notice its effect. When salt is used, things last longer. And then light functions in a similar way. It does not belong to itself, but it belongs to the space that it enters into. Someone from the Wednesday Bible study pointed out that light is most effective when it is lit in complete darkness. For example, you and we turn on lights in rooms so that we can find our way safely through them. It helps us see where we are and how to navigate through that space safely. Light also reveals conditions for care. And when listening to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the people gathered on that hillside are already shaping the world around them simply by being present in God's reign. Their very presence is interrupting the powers of the empire. However, the presence of the people in the book of Isaiah is a little different. We are now in the third section of Isaiah, which means the people have returned from exile. The people are once again praying and fasting and worshiping, but they are feeling distant from God, so they question, why might this be? And first, just a quick explanation on fasting. Fasting in the ancient world embodied an act of humility. People fasted to place themselves physically and spiritually before God. It was a way of saying through both body and words that they are not self-sufficient, that they do rely and need God. And over time, fasting itself became closely tied to worship. Fasting was one of the clearest ways people expressed devotion and repentance. But when the people began fasting while others in the community were still going hungry and thirsty or without shelter or without clothing, God makes it known to them that this fast of theirs is not worship. A fast that promotes one's own self-righteousness while ignoring human need is not a fast acceptable to God. So God gives the people a very clear directive. The fast that God chooses loosens bonds, feeds the hungry, shelters those without housing, refuses to turn away from our neighbors, gives clothing to the naked. It frees the oppressed. Worship that God honors is worship that serves a community in need. And only then does Isaiah speak of light once again. Then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like noonday. Light breaks forth when worship is brought to the people in need through service and humility. The prophet Isaiah uses God's words to confront the brokenness of the world. He refuses to let worship remain disconnected to the places where brokenness is seen most clearly. And this is so important for us because I want to believe that most people are doing the best that they can in this world. And I refuse to let go of this. I want to believe that most people are capable of goodness, that most people do love and they do care. I want to believe that compassion is still more common than cruelty. This belief is rooted in the conviction that people are created in the image of God. I believe this and I hold on to this. At the same time, I am not willing to ignore the reality of evil in this world. There is wickedness out there. There is still an empire out there. There are people and systems choosing cruelty and violence against people who hold less power. And the truth is, unfortunately, it has always been there, hasn't it? Genocide, slavery, women's rights, civil rights, how we treat immigrants and refugees, queer people, those who are incarcerated, the poor, the disabled. And now actions are recorded on videos, and it is too easy and almost expected for everything to be posted online. And even in posting online, in tweets or whatever they are called now, people speak with such evil for the purpose of dehumanizing another person. What we are witnessing is not a sudden appearance of evil in this world, but it's exposure through the light. God's light is bright enough now that once was hidden is seen clearly, and perhaps this too is part of Epiphany. The light right now is strong enough to show us that cruelty and oppression and abuses of power are out there. It is bright enough to show us who benefits from the empire and who bears its cost. But if I, and if you, if all of us believe that most people are capable of good, then the fast we choose is to live as if that goodness matters. And if we long for a world shaped by justice and mercy, then we participate in the hope by doing what Isaiah names. We let our light shine forth when we act in service for others. As part of our service today, we asked for God's blessing over our scouts. Scouting organizations help young people practice goodness and compassion, showing that character and how you treat others matter. In a culture that often rewards domination, lifting up some of the values the scouts focus on, values like trustworthiness, loyalty, helpfulness, kindness, courage, and reverence, that resists the very domination we witness in this world. And when we were offering our blessings over the scouts, we are giving thanks that goodness grows wherever it is cultivated. And we are affirming for all of us that learning how to serve, how to care for others, how to live with integrity is holy work, especially in a world that so often sends the opposite message. And this brings us back to the light on the floor. The morning sun in my apartment reveals what is there and makes it possible for me to respond with care. Once the dust and the crumbs and the fur are visible, something simple and human follows. I sweep. I clean. I pick things up. I tend to what the light has made visible because I am now responsible for what I can no longer pretend I haven't seen. God's light enters the spaces where we exist and changes how we move through them. God's light reveals what is good in this world, and it reveals the mess and the shadows. But when the shadows are revealed, our light responds with justice and kindness and humility. This is the fast God longs for us. This is the way that we embody worship of our Creator. And this is the light of God that now shines through us. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.